Welcome to the Sports Report Podcast with Ben, Ricky, and Jalen. We cover trending and popular topics surrounding the world of professional and on-campus sports. With each of us having a unique sports background, we give different perspectives and insight on the current climate of sports news. And now, here are your hosts.
Welcome back to the Sports Report Pod. Classes in session. I'm Ben. I'm here with Jalen and Ricky, and we have a guest. We have Ren today. This is our second podcast on video. There we go. And Ren, thanks for coming on today.
Of course.
We're going to start off with the West standings. They're very close right now. We're going to start with the play-in. We got the Lakers, the Kings, Pelicans, Warriors, and Suns can all move up still or move down. So we'll start with Ren, since this is your first time on.
All right.
What's your biggest takeaway with the play-in race still going on with just two or three games left in the year?
Me being a Lakers fan, I want to start off talking about them. Honestly, I think we're in a tough pickle. If we end up 19, which is looking like that's going to be the case, I don't see us winning two straight games, only because I know how easy it is for our team to get demoralized and then stop with effort and communication on defense and stuff like that. So definitely worried about my team.
Yeah, no, I'm obviously covering the Lakers. Yeah. I agree it's going to be tough, especially they can drop to 10 and then two road games. I don't think we're winning back-to-back.
Nope.
It's tough. So they need the Kings either to lose two of their last three or the Pelicans to lose out to move up. And then they would be the 8 seed, so they'd be on the road against whoever finishes in 7th. That's the best path, because if they win that game, then they're the 7th seed. They probably avoid Denver in the first round.
Right.
Jalen, I know you're a Kings fan.
Oh, man.
I know you're worried.
Yeah. Everything that Ren just said about the Lakers is what I have to say, except times a million. But the Kings have had a really tough schedule their past to finish out their season. That road trip where they had four games on the road, I think it was against, did it start with Minnesota?
I'll pull it up, man.
Yeah, if you could pull that out, that'd be great.
Okay,
but
it was
an East road trip, actually. So
New York?
Yeah, it was New York, then Boston.
Brooklyn, Oklahoma City.
Yeah. So going into that little road trip, I was like, okay, this is so close. Like, especially because those are all contenders, I was like, they have to split two of two. And then they finish out all at home. Against contending teams still in the West, but it was key for them to get momentum and kind of salvage their road trip. And it was just a brutal road trip. They were up in the first half against New York and then just fell apart in the second half and ended up losing that game. Lost by one to Boston in a great game. Beat Brooklyn, which was good. And then that pivotal last game of their road trip there against
Oklahoma City.
Against Oklahoma City when they were up again, too, just like that New York Knicks game by a lot, 28 or 9,
yep. Yeah,
26 or something like that. But that's what I've been watching this the whole season, and it's like they look like one of the best teams in the league, at least offensively in the first half. Second half comes, other team makes adjustments, and the rotations, especially with how banged up they are, in the second half when they don't have Fox and Sabonis on the floor at the same time, they get exposed. Especially when they have leads and, the other team's fired up, trying to make a comeback and putting points on the board. They have a hard time with, finding a set rotation to go in there and close out a game, which in a play-in scenario is, the one thing that you want to be locked in on is, closing out a close game at the end.
Yeah.
Which I do think they can do if, they have Mike Brown and they have guys who, that culture and that chemistry. They have really good chemistry. That's one thing I liked about just overall this whole season is they are playing, they play hard, and I think they mesh well as a group. But, just talent-wise and how they match up with especially those teams like the Lakers and the Warriors and the Suns, I think it's going to be tough for them, especially, like you said, Ren, if they have to win two games in a row, it's going to be hard.
Yeah.
It's hard for anyone who has to win two games in a row.
100%. Yeah. But the Kings, especially now, they're without Monk and Herder.
Yeah.
Monk
yeah.
might come back, but Herder's done for the year.
Nah, scoring is a big problem for them.
Yeah, I feel like they just forced it out of Fox late in the game, and you could guard Sabonis one-on-one.
Yeah.
He thrives as a passer.
For sure.
If you have a good big, you could guard him one-on-one. So
yeah. They struggle inside in the paint in the second half. Like, Sabonis, when he's rolling vertically, is, you know, one of the scariest guys in the league.
Yeah.
But other than that, they have a hard time getting to the rim. They live and die by the three, and like
Keegan
that's why
Murray
they get cold.
And Barnes are too. They're just very streaky.
They shoot so much. Like yeah. Harrison Barnes and Keegan Murray take so many three pointers, and Keegan Murray is one of the best 3-point shooters mm-hmm. in the league. I think he's only going to get better too, mm-hmm. Especially in that system.
Yeah, he's just still very young.
Yeah, it's just, you know, a big role that he's got to go.
He's been
hit
or miss this year too.
Yeah, and I think that comes from now he's guarding the best player on the other team now.
That's true.
You know, Mike Brown's asking him to step up on defense as a perimeter and interior defender because he's so long mm-hmm. and he's so athletic.
He's 6'9".
Yeah, but he's done a really good job with it, like emerging as like a premier perimeter defender for a team that just lacks defense all around. I think that's part of it too. Like, he's just had to step up into this huge role in so quick of a turnaround in his career.
What do you think the setback was or is like this year compared to last year?
I think part of it is just the like their overall how teams look at them. I think that's a small part of it. After last year, they exceeded expectations and made the playoffs for the first time in I don't know how many years after like ending that drought. But now, you know, they bring the same core back and they get better in the offseason. It's like other teams in the West looking at the Kings not going, oh, this is kind of a back-end team that we can take off.
Right.
They're like, no, this is a contender. And they're getting other teams' A games every game, which, you know, is makes it so that you got to play four quarters of basketball. And when they don't do that, they lose, yeah. Which, you know, is going to happen.
Tough.
Yeah, and the West got a lot better this
yeah,
year, too.
Yeah, that, too. Overall.
Just looking at the standings, you could see it.
Yeah, just a mix of everything. Left. They were definitely a they benefited from circumstance last year. And now, you know, if they're neutral in a certain category, the ball's not going to bounce their way because right. of, you know, a lot of stuff went right the year before. Usually the next year after that, it kind of, you get a little bit more regression to the mean. I just think that's, you know, playing a factor, too. But their personnel is the best, I mean, we've seen in maybe this century, going back to, you know, when they were making the finals and playoffs runs back in the early 2000s. So they definitely have they got the talent, but
yeah.
They just need to put it together. And it comes down to clutch gene, too.
I mean, Fox has it, for sure.
Fox definitely has it.
But anyone else? Need someone else to have it. Harrison Barnes could have won you the series.
Yeah, I mean, we saw it last year, like.
If you win that game, you win the series.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
No question. Not Oracle. In Chase, yeah. Suck all the momentum out. Bang. Like,
go back home.
Yeah.
Closing out.
And then who knows what happens after that once you have
then,
once you get a taste
then you
of
play
winning
the
a round.
Next round.
Yeah. And we all know Sabonis' record against
Okay.
No, but I can't. I see, like, I can't use that card too much because if we ended up matching up in the play-in.
This is going to be so fun.
Yeah. I'm kind of nervous.
What are your takeaways, Ricky?
I'm liking it right now. I'm anticipating these next couple of games to be, like, very gritty, very, like, serious mm-hmm. for these teams.
It's pretty much playoffs
Right now, I'm kind of getting scared of the Suns. They've been getting exposed the past couple of games.
The Clippers game was horrible.
Yeah, yeah. Like, Russ was playing out of his mind. But, yeah, the Suns are being
like
weird. I don't know what's going
on. 33-4
at
one point.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Are they all healthy?
They're healthy.
They're all healthy
the
and they all
playing?
Play?
Yeah.
I don't know. I seen highlights the other day, and they don't really have a big man. They're running Bol Bol a lot, which is kind of, you know, just defensively, because they're already not really a defensive team. They're super heavy offensive. So that was kind of scary. And if they have to play, you know, one of these teams that have a big man, like, or and that are just big in general, like the Lakers, Kings, Pelicans, and it's gonna be tough. It's gonna be tough for them.
For sure.
But yeah, it's going to be interesting. I don't know, the playing is going to be rocking for sure.
The Suns have stretches where on defense it just looks like no one knows what's going on and like it's like pickup at LA Fitness, like they have a possession and they go back and they kind of just wait until it's their turn to go down on the other end.
Yeah, it's almost like they're relying on one of the three to get hot.
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
To get like 40.
No, I mean look at the Clippers game. Like yeah. No one had their shot going.
Right.
And they couldn't do anything. Their defense was horrible. No one else was stepping up. It was just ISO ball, and no one could hit a shot.
Yeah. You got to have ways to win. That's why these top seeds on, you know, with the Nuggets and the Celtics, they have so many ways to win. It's like,
Yeah, no, it'll be interesting. So we'll move on from the play-in. We'll go towards the top of the West now. We got the Nuggets, Timberwolves, and Thunder all within a game right now. Who do you think's going to win the West? We're going to start with Jalen.
It's hard to pick against the Nuggets, right?
Only a few games left, too.
Yeah.
And they have the lead.
They, I believe they have, like we were talking about off-air a little bit, I believe they have a couple of tiebreakers with some of the other top teams. But they have just so much playoff experience, and they know how to win. They got that formula down. I think they, you know, they'll close out.
Their schedule's probably the easiest left too. They have Spurs and Grizzlies.
Gotcha. Yeah, yeah, two teams. Once it gets to the back end of the season, they just want to go to a tropical island.
Right. Yeah. No.
Yeah. They're poised. They've been here before. They'll close it out.
Ren, what do you think?
I also agree. I feel like the Nuggets will definitely take the cake. You play the Memphis Grizzlies, who have nothing to play for, essentially, and the Spurs as well. So I definitely don't think they play Wimby any type of heavy minutes in his last two games for the future, of course. So it's all about draft picks for them now, the lottery and everything like that. So I definitely have the Nuggets taking it.
Yeah, the Nuggets are one seed for sure. Now, unless they just drop it for some reason, I don't know, for a better matchup.
Right. I don't think they will, because they don't know what the matchup's going to be.
Right, so no.
I don't know.
Yeah, and they want home court, too. It's so hard to go over an altitude in a seven-game series, knowing that you might have to play four games over in Mile High. Like, I don't know if you guys have ever, like, spent a bunch of time over up at altitude, but it's, like,
it's a whole
it's
different
crazy. It's like, horrible. The first second you breathe that air once you land on the plane, like, you could tell that, oh, my God, like, my body's not getting oxygen right now.
Yeah.
It's a huge advantage for them. And Jokic had to learn to play in that altitude. He was getting so tired at the end of the games in his first couple of seasons, and he's kind of unlocked that ability to, you know, be strong throughout the whole 48 minutes if he's got to play it.
For sure.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, like, NFL teams, if they're going to play the Broncos, they go, like, early in the week so they could get used to it.
Yeah.
But in the NBA, you can't do that because you only have, like, two games between – or 2 days between your playoff games. So, yeah, I think it should be easy for them. They should lock it up. But Minnesota's going to have Kat back tomorrow. Yeah. Do you think Minnesota could go on a run?
Honestly, I do think Minnesota can go on a run just because of that their defense when they're all healthy and when they're all playing to the best of, you know, if they're all executing and all playing as a team, that defense in the middle is so just tough to game plan against. And if your roster matches up bad against them, that's already like you're at a disadvantage and you have to play your best game to, you know, make it close. You know, teams that are so strong that other teams have to play their best game just to keep it close, like it's so hard to match up against teams like that because even if they don't have their best game, you know, they still find ways to pull it out in the end. So, and Ant, I think Ant, we were talking about clutch factor a little bit off air. Like, Ant has that it factor where he wants the ball down the stretch and he can just go make a play when it comes down to it. When in the playoffs, you need a guy like that, even if you have a good system. And I think he can be that guy on a stage. He's shown it before, and I think we're going to see it.
For sure. Yeah. I think you could make a case that Minnesota might be the best matchup against Denver defensively as far as they could go big. They have depth as well, just like Denver. But yeah, as you said, it's hard to play the teams that like you're kind of matching up to be close at the end of the game.
Yeah.
You know, so it's difficult. But I definitely do see the Timberwolves making a run. They could beat anybody, and they showed it when Cat was out with Anthony Edwards and the rest of the players on the team playing at the level they've been playing when he was out.
What do you think, Ren?
For sure. I think the X factor here is Naz Reid. I mean, he's 6'9". He can play as a wing. He does play as a wing, and it's just hard to guard that. And he's shooting, I think, near 40%, or he might be shooting 40%. It's just going to be hard to guard that. They're going to need to play Aaron Gordon a lot more minutes, probably, against him. So, yeah.
I think the biggest concern for me is Kat in the playoffs has been hit or miss, and he's just coming back from an injury. So I don't know how much of a factor that's going to be, because, like you said, Anthony Edwards, he's going to be clutch. So, like, can they bench Kat and go Naz Reid and be fine with that like,
I think
down the stretch?
The way Naz Reid's been playing is going to kind of – it might subtract it out or balance it out in a sense, because he's been scoring pretty well.
Yeah.
And just Kat coming back, his production's going to slowly, you know, increase as the playoffs go. Mm-hmm. And the way that Najri's playing right now, it's perfect for Kat in this situation, I think.
Yeah, a little bit more net, I seriously, yeah.
Do you think that Kat would be fine being benched, though? Like,
oh, no, he's probably not. He doesn't have to be benched.
I'm not saying, like, to start the game, but to close the game. Like, if he's cold and Nasreed's on fire. Because he's a star player.
It just depends on the situation. I mean, if they're – I don't think Kat's going to be, like, that out of it. I feel like he's going to, you know.
You never know. For a player?
I don't know. I mean, we'll see.
For sure.
But, I mean, if Nas is on a heater, then you can't pull him out, I guess, you know.
Yeah, no, that's good. Just my main concern because, like, I remember a few years ago he was, like, having games where he was, like, 1-for-7 or, like, and fouling out early, too. Mm-hmm. Like, he would get 6 fouls within, like, 20 minutes. And
yeah, I think that was the biggest problem for him is the fouling. Yeah, but I think he fixed that in a way. I mean, he learned. I think he learned.
Well, we'll see.
Hopefully. Yeah, hopefully, sure.
And then the Thunder, the other team, still up for the 1 seed.
So many teams.
This is going to be their first time like with the actual playoffs with their young core.
Yep.
Last year they were in the play-in but did not make it. So we got Shea, we got Chet, Jalen Williams. This is the first taste of real playoff minutes. What do you expect from them?
I think in terms of the spot and historical trends when it comes to teams like that who are super young and like this is their first playoff push, it's might not favor them as, you know, it's not going to favor them as a young team. Going in and playing, they're going to have to play the same team potentially 7 times in a row. I know I harp about that all the time on this podcast, like how different everything is when you have to play the same team 7 times. So much different than the regular season when it's just like about staying fresh and like making sure you're at the top of your game and putting out the best performance you can put out every night on the court. Now it's like, oh, I have to really not only execute on the court, but I have to like stick to this game plan that the coach has put out for us to go beat this other team that we're matching up against. And with for a young team, I think it's hard for them to not get out adjusted by an older, more savvy team. But Shea's the truth. Like he alone can erase deficits and make sure you're in the game all the way up to the end. I'm just excited to see how they close out games late. Against potentially one of these teams who is going to make it out of the play-in. I think that's going to be their biggest X factor is, like, can they hold a lead mid to early fourth quarter and turn those into wins? That's going to be their biggest, I think their biggest unknown and their biggest key.
For sure.
Ren, what do you think?
Definitely agree with Jalen right here. I feel like a more experienced or I think LeBron and JJ Redick's podcast, they said it's more about the IQ than experience in playoffs. I could definitely see a team like Phoenix with KD and Beal and Book just beating them in a 7-game series. I don't think that they're ready for something like that. But if they were to play, like, I don't know, I think the Kings would be the best matchup for them to play out of the winners of the play-in and everything. So, sorry.
I agree. I think those top teams are looking like, man, I hope Sacramento gets cold.
Yeah.
Yeah, when I think of Minnesota this year and OKC this year, I'm thinking of Sacramento last year and the Grizzlies last year, how they're the top seeds. I think Minnesota and OKC are stronger and smarter than the Grizzlies from last year. And Sacramento just a little bit. I know they played pretty well, but it just they're playing against the Warriors. Like, one of the, you know, it was tough.
Yeah.
But I think the playing that OKC and Minnesota did last year, I think that helped them a lot.
Yeah,
and I think it's going to translate better.
I didn't even think
them going into the playoffs. I see the play-in really helping them, because Memphis, they just, you know, right off the bat they had to play a good team, you know, a veteran team, and they didn't really know the playoffs had any. I don't know the word right now.
They got cooked.
So.
Jaw said he was fine in the West, though.
He wasn't.
Where is he now?
Yeah, Dylan Brooks was talking so much shit to LeBron, too.
Dylan Brooks.
Yeah.
And just, it didn't go well for them.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I agree. The playing definitely should help their experience level.
That was a good point, because that play-in last year that the Thunder, they played the Pelicans in New Orleans. So, like you said, they have a little bit of road experience. And I remember watching that game. Like, it was chippy, super physical.
Right.
And, like, those young guys on OKC were getting fired up. And, like you said, they ended up losing that game, but it was good for them to go through that.
Yeah, and the only one that hasn't really played is Chet, because Chet was obviously hurt last year. But, yeah, Shea should be good to go. That should be a good series of whoever they play. It might even be New Orleans. Right now it would be New Orleans, so it would be a rematch of that.
Ooh.
And then it could be the Suns.
Is there any update on Brandon Ingram?
I've known he's been out, but I haven't seen anything like that he's coming back. I'll look right now.
Yeah, they need him.
CJ McCollum's been playing pretty good.
While I look that up, what do you think about the Clippers-Mavs series?
That's going to be a old-fashioned little Western shootout, I think.
Sure.
There's going to be I think it's going to be one of those series that, like, we're going to tune into the games and it's going to be like, oh, this team is up by 30 right now.
Yeah.
And then the next game it's going to be, oh, now the other team's up by 30. It's going to be, I think it's going to be one of those series.
I can definitely see that.
They match up so, like, they're similar teams in some ways, obviously with similar records. And I think whenever you get, like, two teams like that match up, it's always, like, fireworks and explosions and big runs. But Dallas is playing such good basketball right now. I believe they're maybe 16-2, 17-2 in their last 18 or 19 games. And what's crazy to me is they're on that crazy streak, and they're still they're the 5 seed, which just goes to speak about how many good teams there are in the Western Conference and how much the whole 82-game season matters. You know, like, the first game of the year matters just as much as the 42nd or the 81st.
Right.
And we're seeing that now with how the seeding's playing out. And but, yeah, Luka and Kyrie in the playoffs. Kyrie's been playing super well. Luka, we get another chance to see him on the big stage, and he's been there so much. I'm excited to see them.
Yeah, so Ingram, by the way, he could return for the final two games. He's out tonight.
And that's then big for them. They need him.
I think the Mavs Clippers series is what I'm looking forward to most.
Definitely.
Because they've matched up before.
Yeah.
And Luka now has Kyrie with him and a good bench, too. This is the most even it's going to be. And Luka's been dominant against them, almost stealing the series.
For sure.
Just by himself. Now he's got Kyrie with him. Kyrie's one of the most clutch players in the NBA.
And Gafford fit right in.
That's what I was about to
say. Gafford's great.
PJ Washington. Going back to our trade deadline episode, that whole episode was us just talking about how the Mavericks probably won the deadline, and we're seeing it now, how it played off. One of the biggest turnarounds out of any team in the league from the first half to the second half, and a lot of it is based off their acquisitions.
It's like the Lakers last year.
Yes, right. Totally.
Yeah.
Yeah. After picking up Rui and a couple other guys.
Yep, D'Lo.
So good.
Yeah, that was crazy.
How do you guys think they're going to play James Harden? Because they're going to – the Mavs are going to make him defend. And I'm trying to figure out how they're – like, what positions would they put him in? Because
the Clippers,
yeah,
on the defensive.
Yeah, end? I'm trying to figure out. I feel like Russ would be playing a lot more. I think.
Yeah.
In that series.
Well, that's tough. Who are the Mavs starting at small forward right now?
Isn't it PJ? Maybe.
I think he might be at the four. I'll look right now.
Josh Green definitely.
Either way, he's gonna have to play a three.
That's what I'm saying. I think he'll be Derrick Jones Jr.
Oh.
They'll put him on him because Derrick Jones Jr., he could attack the rim. He's a lob threat.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's not going to be, like, shooting lights out.
They won't take him
on. And they'll put Paul George and Kawhi on Luka and Kyrie.
Oh, my God.
That's going to be crazy.
Who does Russ guard?
Russ is off the bench.
Off the bench, yeah. Right.
And that's a good problem to have that's a good thing to have for the Clippers is being able to rotate guys on because they're going to have to, like, when stars have one guy that's assigned to them for the whole game, by the third, fourth quarter, it's over. No matter how good of a defender you are, especially if you're a two-way guy, like how Kawhi and PG are going to be taking shots up at the offensive end, it's going to be grueling, and they're going to be so tired at the end of the game, whoever has to guard Luka or Kyrie.
Terrence Mann will probably get some minutes on him.
Yeah.
They're starting him, they'll probably keep Kawhi on a bigger player.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, which is good. That's good for them to be able to switch matchups throughout the game, keep guys fresh.
Yeah, that'll be
for sure.
That's gonna be such a good
vice
series.
Versa though. Luka and Kyrie's gonna have to guard up too.
Yes, exactly. And we've seen
they'll probably put Luka on Terrence Mann, Kyrie on Harden.
Because
I think Kyrie knows him more.
Yeah, because he's been teammates with him. Yeah,
Wow, what an intriguing
matchup. It's going to be so
It's going to be so back and forth, too. It's going to be about adjustments.
Some bucket getters.
And then Derrick Jones Jr. and P.J. Washington on Paul George and Kawhi.
That's going to be fireworks.
Yeah. Kawhi might get off. I think one of them might get off, though.
Who do you guys lean to early in that series? So many unknowns, but...
The way the Mavs are playing right now, I have the Mavs taking at least the first... I think the first game. They'll take the first game. The second game's going to be, like, it's tough. I probably can't. I can't even judge.
Yeah, so up in the air, right?
I think I'd pick the Mavs to win the series, but probably seven games.
Yeah, how can you not lead towards them with how hot they're playing and if they just take this play into the playoffs? Like,
the problem for me is Harden in the playoffs is really hit or miss.
Yeah.
And then Paul George has kind of been the same. Like, the last few years he's been better, but it's tough. And then Kawhi right now, he's been hurt the last few games. And I feel like that's every playoffs. He'll get
every
hurt.
Single time.
Like, right before, and then he'll play a game and it'll re-aggravate and get worse. Like, last year, that's what happened against the Suns.
Right.
He played, like, two really good games, got hurt, and was done for the series. So... Just because of the injury concerns and just because I don't know what Harden's going to do, I got to lean Mavs, but it'll be really close.
Yeah, I'm definitely going to be glued to my screen.
Yeah, for sure.
I can't wait.
That's the best matchup of the first round, in my opinion. Like, we don't even know who's going to be, like, out of the play-in, but...
Yeah, it's crazy. Like, once the play-in is over and we're going to have these eight teams and we're going to have four matchups, like, I can't believe that four of those teams are going to have to go home. Like, it's crazy. It's unreal. Yeah. And if you flip-flop the matchups, maybe it's, like, completely different teams. Like, that's why, like, the regular season is so big.
Darvin Ham, man. We could be a top, like, four seed right now.
Yeah. He only picked it up after he went on that rant.
I know.
He was like, all right, we have to.
Yeah.
No more. I was getting ready to take over his job.
Yeah. We're getting heat, guys, from these colleges. We need to we need to start stepping it up.
So I saw this today. So he benched Austin Reeves two weeks into the season for like a pretty long stretch. Mm-hmm. Benched D'Lo for some time in December. Started Torian Prince for 51 games.
Horrible.
Started Cam Reddish for 26 games. And didn't start Rui Hachimura till February.
Yeah.
And since they've started Rui.
Sounds
and
like Coach
gone,
of the Year
they've
to
gone
me.
D'Lo, Reeves.
I think he does this on purpose so they could win in the play-in and then go to the Western Conference Finals and be like, you know, I'm able, like, I could do that.
And then he doesn't get fired.
Yeah. That's the only explanation with the players still having a great relationship with him. That's the only reason I can see that.
It's crazy.
That's funny.
Something going
They've
on,
had, bro. Like, the third best record in the league, though, since starting Rui with D'Lo, Reeves, LeBron, and
Eden. Yeah.
No doubt the Lakers are.
Like, a full season of that?
Championship caliber.
A full season of that? They're, like, a top... five seed for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So when y'all play the Nuggets though, like, what's going on?
We need Vando.
We need Vando to come.
If Vando's not playing, I don't think we're winning the series.
Yeah.
We don't have a chance. Like, Gabe's been really good as a non-ball defender since coming back, but we need someone else.
Yeah. That size was what made them so scary as a matchup last year in the playoffs.
Yeah.
And that's why they did so well against the Grizzlies. Mm-hmm. Just eliminated Jared Jackson Jr. And overall, just, like, crowded the paint.
Mm-hmm.
Vando on the perimeter and on the inside is what got them past Golden State. So, overall, yeah. Oh, my God. He's such a big part of what makes them good. And
for sure.
We need
I mean, every 100%. Team. Every team needs to be, like, full weapons, like, all hands on deck, but especially the Lakers.
Yeah, sure. We don't really have, like, a great backup center that I'm going to be like, okay, he could guard Jokic for
Colin Castleton.
Yeah, Hayes.
Yeah, we got Jackson Hayes, Colin Castleton.
Harry Giles, I guess.
Harry Giles.
Oh, yeah. Harry Giles. Wow, that's a name.
Yeah, I know you know about him.
Yeah, King's legend, yeah. Harry Giles.
He was supposed to be so good coming
out
of high school.
2013. I was excited about that pickup.
It's going to be tough. That's why we need more size, like you said. So Vando coming back will be huge.
For sure.
But I don't know if he's going to be back for the first round. That's why I want to try and avoid, like, if we can, we win the play-in, but we avoid Denver.
That'd be amazing.
Then that's ideal, because then even if we have to face him later on, we'll have Vando back by then. It's going to be tough. We're going to shift to the Eastern Conference now.
Ooh.
Start with the Celtics, who are by far the best team in the conference. Mm. But are they frauds? Because we've seen them in some games against good teams play horrible. So we'll start with Ren, because we kind of talked about this last week.
Mm-hmm. I don't know. Me personally, I think this team went to the finals against the Warriors, and they were inexperienced. But now you add Drew Holiday and Kristaps Porzingis, I don't see how they lose to a single team in a series in the East, me personally.
Yeah.
They shouldn't.
Yeah, they really shouldn't. You don't want to see it. You're looking pretty convincing. Philly has their issues with Embiid barely just coming back. The Knicks without Randall. I really don't see what team could possibly give them a run for their money in the East.
Ricky, what do you think?
I mean, I think that they shouldn't lose to any team, yeah. But I think they could definitely lose.
Yeah.
They annoy me. The whole team, the whole organization annoys me. When they win and they win for a long period of time, I'm like, okay, like they're getting it going. I believe them.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's that one game, they up by 30 and they just blow everything. Yeah. All my hopes are in the toilet, garbage, all that.
Like the
Bucks. I'm just like, what's going on? Like, and then I watch the game, I'm like, okay, why are they losing by this much?
Yeah.
It seems like once the opponent maintains a lead for a certain amount of time, it's just like, all right, we're just not playing no more.
And yeah, then, no, they don't have any fight.
Yeah, like they have, it seems like the air is just sucked out of them completely. Yeah. Right. And
it's like they're too good of a team to where if they start losing, they're just like, oh,
yeah, they
we
just
can't
put their
it.
Bench in.
Yeah.
And
I'm
like, okay, I understand you guys are down by a lot, but I need to see fight. Like something to, you know?
That's what scares me about them. Yeah, yeah, I agree. Jalen, what do you think?
Yeah. Retweet to everything you guys just said, but I'm kind of more with you, Ren. Like I really don't think like any team can beat them in a 7-game series, but because they'll have time to bounce back and be able to adjust days in between their games to be able to you know, build off of and hammer out whatever kinks they had in a game before if they do end up losing it, you know, dropping a game in a 7-game series.
Mm-hmm.
But when, like, if they were to get to the finals, it's just the West is so stacked. Then, you know, whoever's going to get there in the West is going to have momentum, obviously, because they beat everybody else. It's hard for me to say anything because of that. Like, you just don't know with them. It's a flip of a coin for what team you're going to get. So, yeah,
it's
I don't
tough.
Know.
Tough.
Yeah, no, it's going to be interesting. Tatum, for me, has to show he could be good throughout the whole playoffs.
Mm.
Because he'll have games, like I said last year in off-air, game 7 he had 50. But then, like, he's had games where he has, like, 10 and he's shooting, like, 4 for 17.
Mm-hmm.
So he's got to prove to me that he could be the number one guy the whole playoffs. Because if he's not, then I could see them definitely, like, they get down in a game and then they go. Like, the Bucks are going to be good. Hopefully. We'll see what Doc cooks up for them.
Yeah,
they've also kind of.
It's almost like they're in like.
And Giannis is hurt now too.
Yeah. Like Bucks are kind of like
the
everything we're saying right now about Boston. Like
it's the same
thing. Same
Milwaukee.
It's even worse.
Yeah,
we don't need to do their own. Yeah. They don't need their own segment. Yeah, we just do everything we just said here. Just change the tape name of the team and.
There you go.
Do you guys think Jason Tatum has to win a ring to win an MVP?
I think so.
He shouldn't have to. But I think the way the media looks at him, he will.
Yeah, I can agree with that.
You shouldn't have to win a ring to be considered for MVP. But that's just kind of the media's portrayal of him right now is he can't win in the playoffs. So in the regular season, they kind of ignore him.
For sure.
I think with the candidates for MVP.
This year, he shouldn't win it for
yeah,
sure.
Yeah, definitely. And we'll get into that a little bit after, you know, this segment. But when I... like take a look at overall just the talent and specifically the numbers that like individual guys are putting up. Tatum is scoring. He can score at whatever level he chooses to be. He's just that talented.
Mm-hmm.
But he doesn't have that assist or rebounding factor. He rebounds really well and his passing has gotten light years better since when he came into the league.
Mm-hmm.
But just his numbers and the way they use him, just primarily as a scorer from the wing. Like, he has to really have, like, a crazy, like, 30-plus points per game season for him to be, like you said, favorite in the media above a Jokic or a Shea or a Luka who's going to put up, or a Giannis who's going to be 30-plus points plus double figures in assists or rebounding. Even Sabonis averaging damn near a triple-double. So, yeah, that kind of scoring aspect is kind of the only pull when he's, you know, going for a season award, I think, which makes it tough to... you know, hand it to a guy who's scoring, but, you know, doesn't have all the crazy, like, inflated stats like some of these other guys do.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I think it'll be tough. I don't know if he'll ever win an MVP with just how, like, so many more players, like you said, right? Have all-around stats.
I don't
like,
see it.
He's going to have to evolve his game.
He's got to become a better he has become a better passer, but he's got to, like, if he's up to, like, 7 assists, then he'll be more in consideration.
But at the same time, it's like they don't really want to change because they're the best team in the league.
Oh, 100%.
Right. So right. He's kind of just in the position where, like.
Yeah, no, he's in a position where they should be winning titles now.
Yeah.
I agree.
But we'll see.
He's an MVP caliber player.
For sure.
Playing in a win-win-win. Like,
yeah, I mean, they have four all-stars on their team.
Yeah, there's only so much you could do. His production on that system is probably just plateaued. The most you're going to see from him is 26, 27 points per game each season.
Yeah.
As long as they keep their team the way it is, so.
It would have to be like a 70-win season,
I think. Yeah.
Right.
With what the numbers he puts
up. Yeah.
Shifting gears, now we're going to go to the New York Knicks, who have a chance to rise to the 2 seed, and that's more possible now that Giannis is out, so the Bucks could drop. What's been your main takeaway from the Knicks so far this season, Jalen?
Their ability to get production from different guys at different times. I know on this podcast we're big fans of Jalen Brunson. I am. I love Jalen Brunson. We talk
one
about
of my
him.
Favorite players in the
We talk about him so much. I feel like if someone wants to go back and look at every episode and do a little drinking game and have many times we talk about him. Anyway, but Tibbs. He's done a great job, and
great
I remember
coach.
there was a time when he was kind of like a joke around the league about how much he plays his guys and how he can never get stuff done in the playoffs because his stars are always hurt.
Mm-hmm.
Reuniting that Villanova crew, and DiVincenzo has been playing really, really well. I didn't expect him first to get paid that much after his tenure with Golden State, and I also didn't expect him to be this good in his role.
He's been really good.
He's shot so well from downtown this year, which has been big for the Knicks. Brunson's still doing what he's doing.
Improved as a shooter, too.
Yep. Getting more versatile, which is crazy. But the lack of Randall going into the playoffs is definitely going to hurt them just overall with guys having not as many guys who can go score the ball.
Right.
But I think – and OG, too. I'm not sure what his timeline is, but he's playing so well for them when they first picked him up.
Yeah. He's come back, I think.
Yeah, he just came back. Like, he had 2 or 3 games since his injury.
So. That's good. Yeah. They need him.
Yeah. He's their best defender.
Yeah, they need him. That he makes him such a – like, they're so much different of a team when he's on the floor. He can score the ball, too.
Mm-hmm.
I think teams in the East out of the play-in, but, like, at lower seeds in the East in the standings, that's the team you're kind of like, whoa. Mm-hmm.
I think they
nobody
can
wants
be conference finals.
For
even
sure.
Without Randall.
Yeah, they can.
Yeah, I agree. With the experience last year, they took that series against the Cavs.
And lost to Miami.
Yeah. But like Ricky said earlier, with those teams in the West, it was a good experience for them, especially for Brunson to go through a playoff run with him being the primary scorer.
He played well.
Really well. So I only expect them to kind of build off, and when they're healthy, they're a nightmare to deal with for anybody in a 7-game series.
Right.
So I think if they make it there to the point when they're matching up against the Bucks or the Celtics later in the final or later in the playoffs, that will be a fun series.
Yeah, for sure.
For sure. Ren, what do you think?
Completely agree. I do wish that they have more production with Bohong, though. Lately, he just hasn't been himself, or I don't know if it's because he has more people to share the ball with, but like he's normally like a 25-5 and like 3 assist kind of guy, or he'll just play point forward. He just looks like a shell of himself to me personally. Recently, so I just wish for more of that for him in the playoffs, especially with Randall out. They're going to need his scoring. So
he's been disappointing for sure since the trade. That was kind of like the last added piece to their team.
Yeah,
and he's been disappointing for sure. But maybe in the playoffs he'll step up
for sure.
Ricky, what are your thoughts?
The Knicks been playing very good basketball. Unfortunately, Julius Randle got injured, and I think if he was healthy, they would have been like up there with the Boston tier, type of teams. Mm-hmm. I honestly think that they're solid as a whole, just like Boston. I think that series will be good if somehow that happens later on. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I think they're definitely one of the most solid teams in the East. DiVincenzo won me some money the other day. So
there you go.
That's my guy right there. shout out DiVincenzo. Shout out OG Anunoby. Yeah. Jalen Brunson, he's a killer. They're all that's a good solid team.
Over right 21, there. By the way, everyone.
Over 21. Nah, but they're good. And you know how Thibodeau plays 40, all their players, yeah. 40 minutes. McBride's been playing actually pretty good too.
He's been playing a lot of minutes.
Josh Hart.
Yeah.
They got some guys.
He stepped up as a scorer, which is surprising.
Yeah.
They're really good. They're really good defensive team, and yeah, they've been playing really good on offense. DiVincenzo's been scoring very well, and Brunson's gonna get his. So
yeah,
it's looking good for New York.
Now, I know you're worried about Boston more so than others. So do you think New York, even without Randall, poses a threat to them?
I would take Boston in that series. New York's strong. I just feel like with the addition of Kristaps Porzingis and Jrue Holiday, they're just a step over the Knicks. And just Julius Randle being out is just hard. But if Julius Randle was playing, I think it would be game seven series. It'll be a tight series. Oh, but
for sure,
since he's out, it's tough. I mean, if Boston's supposed to play how they're supposed to play,
that's
if their
the
record,
that's
you know,
what I mean, because
it looks good on
you.
Paper, but I don't know.
They're gonna have to see. They're gonna have to rely on Mitchell Robinson a lot more than expected. He needs to be in the gym working on his free throw because I already know they're gonna attack him in foul trouble.
Yeah.
So yeah.
Him and Hartenstein will get a lot of minutes.
Hartenstein's been playing well.
He was a good starter, really good. Yeah, he surprised me.
Yeah.
We'll shift now to two other teams in the East that have a chance to make a big run. They've got some star players, and the Heat have gone in the past. And then the Sixers, Embiid just came back. Him and Tyrese Maxey have looked really good. We'll start with Ren. What do you think about the Heat and the Sixers' chances to upset a team in the first round?
Obviously, you can never count Jimmy Buckets out. I'm a little worried about Philly, though, just because of the first few games I've seen Embiid come back. Like, of course, he's scoring the ball. He's going to score the ball. But as far as engagement, like, he'll get his buckets, and then on defense, like, he'll just sit. And I don't know. He just looks kind of sluggish. I know that's expected, though. He's just getting back into rhythm. But, yeah, I definitely think more Miami than Philly could upset a lot of teams. For sure.
What do you think, Jalen?
Yeah, I was kind of looking at the bottom five-ish of the seeding in the East. In the context of our last talking point, which was the Celtics, I wanted to ask you guys, like, who do you think out of teams kind of seeded at, like, from 6 through 10, like, who do you think matches up? I mean, obviously, nobody matches up well against Boston. They're so stacked. But who do you guys think, like, poses the biggest threat to Boston upset-wise? Or Milwaukee, or even Milwaukee, like teams like that.
I would say the Sixers, just off how Joel Embiid plays.
Yeah, their ceiling.
Nobody's guarding him, either team. Even the Bucks, if Giannis is healthy, I guess.
Giannis and Brook.
Yeah,
is probably the best way to guard him.
The last game that I seen Joel Embiid play, just how he was scoring so effortlessly, I think it was against the Grizzlies. So I mean, it is the Grizzlies.
And
but
they already got half their roster.
And half their roster is just is done. The way he was still scoring, it was like, and it's hard to guard Tyrese Maxey and Joel Embiid off their actions, especially the passing catch, pick and roll actions. All that is difficult because how fast Tyrese Maxey is with the ball and without the ball, and it's I think they're a really hard matchup for any team, especially in the East. But if the Sixers and the Bucks play the first series, I think I might take the Sixers, to be honest.
And Giannis might be, we don't know if he's going to be there for game one either.
Yeah, that's what.
So that'll definitely be a factor for sure.
Wide open this year.
As far as against the Celtics, I think the Heat.
Yeah.
Just because they've done it before. They did it last year.
Mm-hmm.
I know they added Drew and Kristaps, and that's definitely, like, I would pick the Celtics to win the series, but Jimmy Butler, like you said, you can't count him out. And then the playoffs, it feels like all their role players just, like, step up so much. Like, Gabe Vincent, he was great last year. The Lakers signed him to be that guy. He has not been playing well on offense at all.
Maybe he'll come back in the playoffs like he did.
We got to hope. That's what the Lakers need right now.
Do you think them losing, the Heat losing all them players, do you think it might, we might see a change this year? Like, do you think they still have it in them to make that run?
I think they still can, because they also added Terry Rozier, who I feel like's the most talented of the point guards they've had recently.
Yeah.
Tyler Hero, Duncan Robinson, I mean, those are shooters. And they could get hot in a game, hit six threes. They've shown it time and time again. So
they got Bam.
Bam's lockdown defender.
Yeah. Goodness.
Forget it. Yeah. Yes. I forgot the Terry Rozier. That makes everything
too
more scary.
I was like, oh, they're pretty good.
Yeah. No, that's the playoffs this year is going to be so good.
And Bam is like, Bam is crazy. Like, some games, he looks like a tier one caliber center.
Yes, easily.
And on defense, he's just locked down.
On defense, it's kind of like, for me, he's kind of like a worse version of AD. Because Bam on defense is always good. AD on defense is always good.
Right.
On offense, AD is more consistent this year for sure. But Bam and AD kind of do that same thing where they could have a game where they only have like 10 points. They shoot pretty bad. And then the next game, they're scoring like 35.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. With like 20 rebounds. So it's like, you don't know. You don't know what you're getting on some nights, especially in the playoffs when it's like back to back. Like last year, AD was like one game on offense, he'd be really good. The next game, he'd be really bad.
Yeah.
So that's kind of what I see with Bam too. And I don't know. But Jimmy is just good all the time in the playoffs. So I feel like they'd have a shot against Boston. But
I can see it.
Y'all think the Hawks can make a little push, or or y'all just count them out? Just like, it's just not.
I don't know. They'd have to win two games in the play-in is the thing. Nah. And right now it's two on the road. I don't think they're beating Philly or Miami. I think they'll beat the Bulls. But
I can see it.
I don't know. I mean, Trae Young, if he's back for sure, then they have a slight shot. But
the Bulls and the Hawks make the play-in.
that would be
wild.
That would
nah,
be crazy.
Such a different like play-in environment from the West and the East.
Yeah.
We got bottom feeders in the East. Like, wait, these guys are in the playoffs? Yeah. And then the West, it's like the greatest players in the history of basketball like, battling for
it's like direct
two,
TV
two
versus
spots.
Cable, it's regular cable, direct TV.
Oh, it's gonna be so good. By the way, I know we talked about Brandon Ingram earlier. He's expected to return Sunday against the Lakers.
Of course.
I know you were gonna know it. Every good player returns against the Lakers. Like that's the one game they return. Someone has a list this season. We'll try and find it right now. But
every
it's
time.
Like every star player, like they'll be out for a few weeks, and then when they see the Lakers on the schedule, that's the game they return. And then they might sit out the next game.
Curry literally sat out the game before the game we just played and lost. Curry literally sat out that game just so he could rest up for us. I know RJ Barrett did it on the Raptors when he got hurt. There's so many people that
do
that.
And he hadn't played like multiple games before that.
Right.
Played the Lakers, and then he sat out the next game.
Right, like.
Wait, but why'd y'all let Draymond go 5-for-5?
Oh, okay.
That's what I'm kind of confused about. I was kind of lost when I heard
that. Was their
that.
Coverage. They were just like, we'll let him shoot.
I mean, I don't blame him. Like, starting off the game, leaving Draymond open. But,
I don't. That's
start.
The thing with Darvin Ham. Like, he'll come up with a game plan. He'll stick to it the whole game. He won't adjust.
And his timeouts, oh, my God.
He doesn't call timeouts.
Exactly. He keeps his hands in his pockets the entire game.
No, he's a spectator. He's literally, like, he's literally a paid spectator.
Bro, he literally just gets front row sick,
like,
seats.
That's third right. quarter was still a game. He runs a lineup with three guards. No LeBron on the floor. And LeBron was pissed coming off the floor, too. Because they were, like, maybe 2 points down at that point. It was really close. And then that lineup to end the quarter, it was, like, a Warriors 15-3 run or something.
Awful.
And then Lakers were like, they couldn't get back in it after that. So
turn the TV off.
Yeah, no, it's so annoying. But Brandon Ingram coming back against the Lakers, you know, just another
he's dropping 40.
Added challenge for them to move up. Because they have to win both games if they're going to move up.
When is Vando supposed to come back?
He got reevaluated earlier this week. He's not cleared for contact yet.
What's wrong with him? Like, what's his injury?
I didn't even see
Is it the ankle thing?
I think so, yeah.
I guess. I don't know.
I feel like Brandon Ingram like sprained his MCL last week, and he's coming back in a week. Bro. What's going on with
Vanderbilt? Let's see. He was, foot sprain in February.
And Gabe Vincent giving me Kendrick Nunn vibes from last year.
I know. Like, at least he's back.
He is.
Kendrick Nunn was never back.
He's like 0-for-5 every game.
No, he can't shoot right now. He's been good as a defender though, because he gets through the screens.
Yeah, I see that. He fights definitely.
Which is like no one else on the team does that. So that's nice to see.
He'll get his feet underneath him.
If he could start shooting, like, just league average, like, he's going to be very impactful in the playoffs.
For sure.
But we got on off track with the Lakers there. I just brought up Brandon Ingram playing, and we got on that whole rant. So I think that's a good time to shift into awards now.
Oh.
Mm-hmm.
Or do we want to save that?
I think, yeah, we can do the whole other episode. Because we got a good amount. The next episode? This is, how long is this?
It's pretty long. I mean, this is the second recording.
Yeah, but this is the second one, so it's, but this is, what, 15?
This is 15.
Plus, so we're like over an hour.
Yeah, for sure.
Okay, next episode, we'll do MVP and the other award breakdown. Mm-hmm. So that'll do it for the episode, and class dismissed.
Thank you to Ren for coming on.
I appreciate
you. Yeah, we'd love to have you on more in the future.
I definitely would.
Yeah. Yep. And we're thinking of having rotating guests too, just to come in and chop it up about sports. That's what we love about sports, and
sure.
We got such a good community here at CLU of people who are like minded like us and fired up and smart and well spoken. So
definitely,
just more to come. Like last week with the video, we're on the up.
We're evolving. Keep on evolving.
Yes.
Yep. And we'll see you guys next time.
Thank you.
Yeah, appreciate it.
Thank you for listening to the Sports Report Podcast. Be sure to check out our Instagram at the Sports Report Pod for more content and to never miss an episode. We'll see you next time.
Score!